إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah. We seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no god has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Ma ba'idu, certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. This afternoon's talk on methodology for learning Arabic. There are many methodologies in learning Arabic, and probably even many more than that. And the method, inshallah ta'ala, that we're going to cover today, then this method distinguishes itself from other methods in the sense that there's no more trial and error in this method. That this is a method that has already been used, and students have already finished it, and the results are living, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And this differentiates itself from other methods that are still on paper only, and the results have not been achieved as of yet. And this is the method that I myself, alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity of learning Arabic on. And it's based on basically our Shaykh, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim Al-Hindi. And it has some other additions other than what we had studied in the University of Medina, as the Shaykh had other additions to his program depending on where his program would have been taught, meaning in which country of the countries of the West. And this is basically that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Shaykh, he calls this program a natural program. And what he means by natural is that it's the natural way that human beings learn how to speak. Each and every one of us, walhamdulillah, we speak. We speak our mother tongues. And how do we learn how to speak our mother tongues? Did we go to school to learn it? Did someone write out a methodology on how every people is going to learn their mother tongue? No. people just naturally learn the language that is spoken and the environment that they're raised up in before they even went to any school and before any program or methodology was written down for them. And this is basically that the children are coming up from birth and the parents and the people around that child are speaking to that child, and that child doesn't know what you're saying to them. But you're speaking to the child anyway because you know he will learn. If he hears what you say to him enough, he'll begin to understand. Like the children in the beginning, you call them by their name. They don't know their name is what you named them. But they notice after a period of time you keep calling them that. So it's funny that everybody calls me that. They must be talking about me. And the child learns his name. And then the child starts to learn other things. Come here. He doesn't know what come. How does he know what come here? Do you translate it into the baby's language to make him understand what come here means? As I said before, do you say, ga-ga-gu-gu means come here. And come here means ga-ga-gu-gu, meaning get it over here. You don't teach the children like that. But you speak to the child, and the child begins to understand what you're saying to him. Firstly, by demonstration. Come here, as you snatch his hand. Get over here, boy. And when you snatch his hand, now he realizes that come here. Sometimes you say, get over here. And then he learns that when you say, come here, it's okay. And when you say, get over here, that it's not okay. So the child, he learns not only what you say, but he learns how you say it also. And he starts taking it in context. And in the beginning, he doesn't really understand. You say, didn't I tell you? Why do you have to say, didn't I tell you? He doesn't really understand you yet. And you have to keep telling him until it looks like it sinks in. This is the natural way that everyone learns how to speak their mother tongue. And in this learning process, as we're saying, that there's no schooling, there's no teacher who taught us, you know, the parents, listen, this is how you're going to teach your children to learn your mother tongue. Also, there was no self-learning. You can't leave a baby alone by himself and then he'll speak a language. No. He has to interact with the people who speak that language in order to speak that language. I've given the example before that our children learn our mother tongue naturally by listening, repeating, by demonstration, by pictures or objects, motioning to them. Turn off the light. You have to show them, see? Turn off the light. Click. And you turn it off when you show him. So the next time, turn off the light. You might open the refrigerator door. No, don't open the refrigerator. Turn off the light. See the light. And you start showing your children and they start learning. This isn't, as we think, this isn't naturally they just pick it up. But it's because of this process that's going on. Not because he's your child, meaning he naturally picks up your language. No. It's because of what's going on. And amongst the evidences of that is, if you leave your children, may Allah preserve our children, if our children were kidnapped and taken to a strange land and a strange place with a different language, what would that language would that child grow up speaking? Do you think when he grows up, he'll speak your mother tongue and the people kidnapped him will say, how can you speak English? Our language is Hausa. How is he just, we're speaking to him in Hausa, he's responding to us in English. Now, he won't learn English because he didn't go through that natural process of listening to you speak to him in English and showing him and hearing it in context. Hearing the way that you say it and how you say it and your facial expressions and your hand expressions and everything that goes along with that. The children, they won't hear that. And because of it, he might be born to you, but he'll be speaking another language. Now we see this even here in America oftentimes with people coming from other countries. The parents speak one language only. They haven't learned English yet. The children speak English. How do they speak English if their parents only speak whatever language they speak? Because when he goes outside and he's playing with the children and the children are talking to him, shoot, shoot. He don't know what he's saying. He's playing basketball. He told him, shoot. He didn't shoot, man. You got to go slap him in the head. You don't listen. When I say shoot, shoot, that means you open. Shoot it. You playing basketball or whatever. So he starts to learn the language of basketball. Or he learns the language, whatever situation he's in, he learns the language. He learns the language of the restaurant when he's in the restaurant. He learns the language of the doctor's office when he's in the doctor's office. He learns the language of the classroom when he's in the classroom. And every situation he finds himself in, he begins to pick up the language of that situation because he sees the objects, he hears the what's being said. And we know even in the young age, the children, they repeat everything they say. Don't say that, boy, because he's just repeating. This is how people normally or naturally pick up their language. And this is the way that the Sheikh tried to devise his program. And the success is the success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whoever He likes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful in all of our endeavors. So in this program, the first point is there's no self-teaching. If you want to learn Arabic by yourself, you have to go look at another program. This program can only be taught to you in the Arabic environment. Even if that environment is only a classroom, it can only be taught to you in the environment. And if you don't have that environment, then you're not going to learn. It's like the children, you can't let them grow up in a Spanish-speaking country where no one speaks French and expect the child to speak French. How is he going to speak French? You can't have a child growing up in an environment where they only speak Urdu and you expect that child to speak Chinese. He has to be in the environment of which language he's going to learn. So this program, you can't have a self-taught, is not a self-taught program. You can't do it by yourself because you don't have the environment. Your environment is only the environment of the language you speak. So keep learning that language in that environment. But for this one, you have to have the environment. And that environment, in our case, is going to be the classroom. Which means that the teacher is only going to speak the new language that the students are going to learn, which is Arabic Fusha, or classical Arabic, or the Arabic of Allah's book, and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the Arabic that's going to be spoken by the teacher only, not English or any other language. And the question arises, as if the answer hasn't already been said, how are we going to learn from a teacher who doesn't speak our language, his language? And we answered it earlier, we said, how is the child going to learn your language when you don't speak the child's language? You don't speak gaga gugu. You say gaga means the refrigerator. Gugu means a pair of shoes. No, you don't translate from children's language to your language to make him learn your language. But you speak it and he naturally starts to pick it up. This is as children and as adults. As adults is the same thing. As adults, it's the same thing. And all of us, we know that. If you get a new job, wherever you get a job, you're an adult. Wherever you get a job, you learn all of the new phrases that go along with your job. Wherever you work, there's a terminology at your job place. And even if you have the same profession and you go from one corporation to the next one, depending on the corporation, there's going to be some slight variations in the terminology or the wording, because of whatever the situation might be, and you're going to pick up in your new environment, your new terminology. So the teacher is only going to speak Arabic Fusha
in the class and nothing else. And the process is going to be a little longer than you like. But this is the natural process. You want the baby to be born tomorrow, but it has to go through a process. And you want to learn the Arabic language overnight, but it's going to take a little time. But it's okay. It's okay, it takes a little time, and it's okay. You're just going to learn it little by little, gradually. So the teacher, in the beginning, he's going to be speaking to you, and you're not going to understand what he says, and that's okay. Because that's how you learn a language. In the beginning, you don't know what's being said to you, but you're going to learn. If the learning process is taking place, you're going to learn, so don't feel uncomfortable in the beginning, even if you do. Just sit back and relax, for lack of better words. Somebody speaking to you don't know what in the world he's saying. But he's going to be bringing you through a program of learning of which you're going to learn. So the parts that you're missing are not important to you yet, because he's bringing you along. Just like the child, when the child is young, okay. You're not trying to teach the child history, world history, calculus formulas. The child is only 3 years old. Even certain words you can't even use for the child yet. They're big words. And even sometimes you spell the word out so that the child doesn't know what you're talking about, because he doesn't even know how to read yet. Honey, get me the C-A-N-D-Y. Because the children, they don't know yet. You don't want to, you know, say something around the children. So you just spell it. Get me the C-A-N-D-Y. All right, the children might repeat it to themselves. What's the C-A-N-D-Y? But they don't know what it is yet. So the teacher, he's speaking and you don't know, but don't worry. Because what concerns you, he's going to make sure that you understand that. And then the rest of it, you're going to learn it as you develop to that stage. But he's on a stage where, as a human being, he has to express himself with the language he has. Just like an adult, you have to talk to a child. He doesn't understand you. But you only have one way to express yourself. And then the child is patient with you until he grows to learn. This brings us to the next point, that this teaching process must go on every day. This teaching process must go on every day. You can't have a 1 day a week course for this. This is not going to work. The program we're talking about now is not a 1 day a week or weekend program. It has to take place every day. Or, at the worst case scenario, 5 or 6 days a week. The amount of time that you spend, I shouldn't say it's not important, but it's not as important as being daily. If you had a daily class for 15 minutes a day, it's going to be much better than your 2 hour a day class on the weekend. Even if your 2 hours a day class on the weekend equals up to more time, this is going to be better because this is more natural. This is how the children, they interact. You might don't talk to your children, you might not talk to your children when they're young that much. And why, how could you? Because they don't know what you're talking about. You can't hold a conversation with a 3 year old. I mean, hi, how, you know, you could just play with them. You know a couple of words, but you can't just hold a conversation. So daily he picks up from you. What does he pick up from you every day? You're not sitting down lecturing him. Hour. Come here, boy. Give you a daughter's here, man. Let you learn this language here. No, you speak to him a little bit every day, and he starts picking up like that. You can't not speak to your child all week. Listen, I'm busy. And we're busy. Then speak to your child only on the weekend for hours. He can't catch it. But you catch things little by little. This is the natural way that human beings learn and pick up things little by little. And if you pick up things little by little, they're more solid than if you pick up so much in a short period of time. And this is why, even though the intensive courses benefit, but still, even after you go through an intensive course, it's going to take a period of time for you to continue with that subject until it really sinks in. All right, you went through the course for 3 months, 10 hours a day. Okay, you covered everything that it usually takes people 3 years to cover, and you did it in 3 months. You're going to know everything that they knew, but how do you know it? It's there, but it's not all the way in. So over a period of time, it's going to sink and sink and sink in. So this process, it has to be daily, and it's going to take some time, but don't worry, inshallah ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with life, we'll learn. The point is that you'll go through this natural process. Okay, now that we have our introduction, we're going to move into the classroom. And the teacher is going to start off with two things. He's going to divide his class up into two sections. The first section is going to be vocabulary, and the second section is going to be reading. This is for adults. Children, they haven't learned to read yet. And vocabulary for the children is good. Vocabulary for the children is good until they are of the age where they can learn how to read. Just learning vocabulary and talking to the children is good. They pick it all up. I don't know how, but they do. And we know it, unfortunately, because children use curse words. How do you use curse words? Because they heard somebody saying them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our tongues from that which is impermissible to come off of them. So we're going to start with, and we're focusing this program right now on adults or people 12 years old or older. The vocabulary. We're going to start off with the vocabulary with basic commandments that are necessary for all of the students to understand so that the teacher can teach him. And these commandments are going to be learned by show and tell. For example, everyone's going to have to sit down and stand up. And the teacher is going to say, Qum, Qum. Qum ya akhi. Ya subhanallah. Ijlis. Okay, for the people who are not looking, you know, I'm going to try to explain in words. But really, this part of the class is going to have to be show and tell with no words because you don't know any words yet. So, Jazakallah khairan. So, the teacher is going to tell someone to stand, for example. Stand up. The student doesn't know what the teacher is saying. He says, Qum. You don't know what he's saying. He's going to go help you stand up. Oh, Qum means stand up. In your mind, you're saying, oh, he want me to stand up. Qum. Now you know. Ijlis. Push you back down. All right, you're sitting. He's going to say, Unzur. Unzur. You don't know what he's saying. Is going to motion to his eyes. Oh, that means look. Or he points to the blackboard. Unzur. Unzur. Alright. Now you're starting to learn. Oh, that's what he's saying. I'm saying look in English, but whatever your language is, you still know what it means to let your eyes move to where someone's telling you to look. Alright. He's going to say, listen. You know, like you shake your ear. Istama'. Alright? And you're going to start learning. So he's going to pull you through Iqra', Uktub, read, write, listen, speak, be quiet, stand up, sit down, come in, leave. Alright, now he's able to, now the teacher's able to, after he shows you these things, now the teacher's able to express himself a little bit to you. So he can get moving. Because you're going to have to start looking, listening, repeating, A'id. He's going to say something, he wants you to say it. A'id. What is he saying? So he'll say it, and then he'll motion to you, like, say what I'm saying. Then when you catch it, he's going to always say, A'id. So you always start to connect the action with the word. And now you pick up these words, and now he's able to move you along to some more words. Now that he has a little control over you. Come here. Now he can tell you. Because before he couldn't tell you anything. So now he shows you the things that he can show you. Don't eat. Like he doesn't want anyone to eat in the class. لا تأكل. You don't know what he means. Bring you something. لا تشرب. لا تشرب. لا تشرب. He starts to explain to you enough commandments so that he can control his classroom, because it's very important that the teacher control his classroom. And this is normal, just like with our children. First thing, you know, we're in control. You're the child, I'm the parent. What I tell you to do, you're going to do, and I don't want to hear any back talk. All right? So you're going to start with some commandments to get them, the teacher, control over his classroom. And then he's going to start teaching them words. Words that are closest to them. And words he's going to use or be around them. So maybe he might start off with teaching you colors, for example. And you start learning the different colors. He might hold up a different like construction paper with different colors. Aswad. Azraq. Abyad. And he starts to give you some words. When he's giving you these words, he says them as he's showing you, and you repeat. He says them and you repeat. He says them and you repeat. He says them and you repeat. And he goes through the lesson like this. He gives you as much as he thinks that everyone is handling. And then he stops. The next day, he goes over the same lesson again, to make sure everyone understands it. It shouldn't take as much time the next day as it took the first day. Because it's basically there. He's just tightening it up a little bit. Tighten it up a little bit and add some more on. Say he'll add on things in the classroom. A desk. A chair. Pencil. Paper. Notebook. Book. Clock. Light. You know, window. Things like that in the classroom. And he's giving you what he feels that the class can absorb. And then stops. Because the mind can only remember. Can't make the baby be born in 3 days. Huh, honey, I want you to eat all these, take all these vitamins, protein supplements, stuff I want you to get. You know, let the baby, you know, develop faster. It's not going to develop, but as fast as it can develop. So you're going to, the teacher is going to learn how much that the class can handle. And then he's going to add a little more. So the third day, he's going to go back to the very beginning, which you should have gotten it much faster than the first and the second day. So now you go through that quickly. Then he's going to go for what you went over yesterday. You should have done it faster than you did yesterday. And then with the extra time, he's going to give you a little more. And then this process is going to go, and then maybe give you the days of the week, the months of the year, maybe directions, east, north, south, above, under, to the right of, the left of, what have you, like that, so that when he, you know, can you get the book off the table? Oh, can you get the book under the table? Can you tap the student to the right of you? All right, now he starts to understand some things as the teacher is speaking. He doesn't understand grammatical structure and how do you use everything properly. All he knows is he's catching some words, and he knows that right, oh, something over here. He learns the word right. All he knows is when he hears the teacher say something, all I know is he says something to the right. Everybody's over to the right or to the left, or they're looking up. What are you all looking at? I don't know. You just said fauqa. We started looking. So, you go over the body parts, the hand, fingers, head, hair, eyes. You start teaching them the animals, fruits, vegetables. And we try to, as much as we could, in teaching these words, to hold closer to the words that are in the Quran and the Sunnah. Closer to the words that are in the Qur'an and the Sunnah in this part. Closer to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Here we're not focusing on conversating. You're just letting them learn. Like the children, they're not talking. And even you know when the children are three or whatever, when they start to talk, it takes them like 5 minutes to get a sentence out. You're sitting there with your child, you know, he's trying to get it out. And even when they get the sentence out, you understand what your child says, but he doesn't have the sentence together properly. So in the beginning, you can't really compose and construct sentences yourself. You just have words to work with. This is the normal way. And most of us as adults, we just want to start speaking. You can't speak yet. You have to speak in your own mother tongue. When you want to speak in your mother tongue, because you can construct sentences and you can get your point across. Right now, you're still a baby. All you can do is basically listen and follow. You know a couple of words and what have you. And you keep developing this vocabulary like that. Okay. That's half of the period. The other half of the period is going to be learning how to read, as we said. And these are going to go along with each other. So we have the vocabulary. I hope that everybody understands where we're going, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, with the reading, we're going to take the likes of the Quranic readers. And there's been different types or whatever, but I hope that everybody got the idea of the Quranic reader, as the brother Dawood Abdul Haq was teaching yesterday. Okay. We're going to start off with the alphabet. Aleph, Ba, Ta, Tha, like that. Alright, everyone's going to learn this alphabet from the likes of one of these Quranic readers. And I hope, inshallah ta'ala, that here at Masjid Ahl Sunnah, as we're finalizing right now, our own How to Read Arabic Quranic Reader book. And this is after teaching it ourselves for some time. We have situations that concern ourselves in particular. And any teacher anywhere, it could be in the same country, he's going to find certain things, you know, particular to the students as he teaches. He makes those additions to whatever Quranic reader he has to adjust it to a situation. Just like Imam Dawood Abdul Haq, he had a basic book and he made additions because he's teaching and he's feeling from them. You're trying to get down the natural process, so you have to observe well and then document. As we were talking yesterday with the rules and principles of this deen, now usul, tajweed, usul fiqh, they had to listen to what's being done and you try to document it so that the people who read and study that will be able to do what was already being done. And that's the same thing with this process we call a natural way to learn. You have to observe naturally what's going on and then document it to make sure you're able to present it back to the people like that. Okay, when we're teaching this book, there are some things to take in mind for the teacher and our case for the students also. That is that the teacher shouldn't teach more than 4 letters per day, and preferably 2 letters a day. So for half of the class, you're only going to learn 2 letters. You say, subhanallah, you mean we're going to say alif, 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 alif for 10 minutes or 15 minutes? Ba, 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 we're going to sound like sheep or something. No, I'm sorry. If you notice the children, when they learn, when they're young, they can sit and say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. They can keep saying it. Now I said, my ABCs, tell me what you think of me, so, or whatever they say. You got to tell them, okay, I got to go to the bathroom, anything. You have to tell your children it's enough because they continue to repeat. So it's important in the early stages that we repeat a lot, because in learning a new language, especially the Arabic language, pronunciation is very important, because it's going to differentiate one word from another. And your pronunciation is going to be more corrected the more practice of the new letter you get. So it's going to be a little slow in the beginning, but it's okay. It's going to be a little slow in the beginning, but it's okay, it's sinking in. You don't want to be like many of the people have been. They went through the whole Quranic reader, but he still doesn't know how to pronounce the letters properly. Or he still doesn't know how to read fluently. And this is why we say that you have to take your time when you go through this. Repetition is very important. And it'll be on the teacher, they can add the different ways to keep the class lively. Like for example, as you teach the two letters, okay, I'm gonna make you the teacher. You bring them up. Everybody's laughing. Ahmed Mudarris. You know, Ahmed, who al Mudarris? Or something, you know. Alright, now Ahmed is playing the teacher. You bring him up to the board. Alif. And then everybody repeats after him. Ba. And he motions to the letter. And he goes and he plays teacher. And then you choose another student or something like that. You keep the class lively because you have to repeat. There's no way around it. It's no way you're going to learn the letters properly without repeating and repeating and repeating. But as adults, it's hard for us to act like children. Though we have to go through this normal process, so the teacher tries to take ways where he can make the adults go through the process that the children go through without feeling like children. So maybe choosing different people as teachers or whatever he has to do. Or maybe making this one say it to him. And then he says it to him. And then he says it to him. And you go around the classroom like that or whatever the case may be. Alright, this book will be taught. I don't know how long someone is going to have their class. But hopefully in this, if you can do an hour a day or at least 40 minutes a day, then this might be good, inshallah ta'ala, if you broke it up at 30 minutes for the vocabulary and 30 minutes for the reading, or 20 minutes for the vocabulary, 20 minutes for the reading. Okay, the teacher, and teaching some of these books, and we're going to have this in our book, inshallah ta'ala. As every non-Arab has different problems in the pronunciation of the Arabic letters. So the teacher observes the problems that are in his area, and then he makes worksheets or pages in the Quranic reader to do that. Like we have in ours here, we have the Hamza and the Ayn together. Say after you learn the Kasra. So you will start to learn the difference between E and A. And the same thing with the Ta and the Ta. Between T and Tui. And the same thing between the Tha and the Thal. Thi and Thi. And the same thing between the Ha and the Ha. Or as some people say, which Ha? It's only one of them. Ha and Ha. So you're going to take exercises to help the people pronounce the letters properly. And the same thing with the Kha and the Kaf. Or the Kha and the Kaf and the Qaf. So that you might say with a Fatha on all of them, Kha, Ka, Qa. Which many people say, ka, ka, ka. No. Instead of kha, he says ka. And that's why people say Khadija. Have everybody heard of the name Khadija? Huh? No. No. Everybody heard of the word Khadija, and there's no such word. It's Khadija. Khadija. But we don't, because you don't learn the letters properly, you wind up falling into that. And like some of the people, they say, niqab, niqab. My wife wears a niqab. Instead of niqab. Because of the difference between the qaf and the kaf. At any rate, the teacher is going to make sure that he places emphasis on this. And even we have some sections, because even this is problematic, even with some of the Arabs. And it's important too, even if the Arabs are going to be teaching, to put some of those exercises to make the Arab not slip when he's teaching you by mispronouncing the letters. With the example of like the ta and the tha. Some of the Arabs, they pronounce the ta and the tha exactly the same. Like they might say for the word athani, they might say atani. So you put both of those letters there, tha, ta, tha, ta, so that even the Arab that's teaching it, he's not going to fall into what's his custom. Or, like you might put the thal and the zay together, which is tha and za, which some of the Arabs pronounce za, za. So even if there's an Arab teaching it, the course, he's going to, for himself also, to go over exercises that will prevent him from letting his dialect affect the fusha that he's teaching you when he's teaching you how to read properly, and this is important. Or even like the letters the tha and the seen. The tha and the seen. As some of the Arabs they pronounce, or others, the tha, it's lightly till it becomes like a seen, a sani. Instead of saying a dur al-thalith, say a dur al-salis, a dur al-salis. Are you going up to this a dur al-salis? Are you going up to the sixth floor? He said, it's no sixth floor, it's only five floors. A dur al-salis. So, he's saying ad-dur al-thalith, but the pronunciation. So, in this Quranic reader, or learning the Arabic alphabet, it's important for the teacher to make sure that proper pronunciation is there. Because learning how to read, the first and most important thing for everyone to read is Allah's book, the Quran. And he's going to need that pronunciation, which is going to be even more corrected when he sits with the Quranic teacher to teach him how to recite the Quran properly. But this introduction, you're going to have to emphasize in order to get his pronunciation properly. I also advise that the likes of these books that you wouldn't cover once you get rolling, more than one page a day. More than one page a day of any book. That you would just do one page and you'll constantly repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and remember. For those people who get bored or think that it's too much or whatever, when you finish, you got it. When you finish, you got it. Going through this program like this, when you get at the end, you got it. It's many of us, say for example, we went to school until the 12th grade, and now we're 50 years old, we never went to school. Can you still read? Why can you read? Because once you get it, you got it. You might forget a word or two or this or that, but when you master something or perfect something or become proficient in something, then it remains with you. But if you never really get something down, ask you about it 20 years later. It's like you never went through it at all in your life. And this is what is important in going through this book, is to make sure that the students master this book. Because many of us might not ever get a chance to spend 15 weeks again. We might not spend 15 weeks again. Especially with the difficulty you're going to find going through it, you might not want to go through it again. But now you have Allah's book to read whenever you like. So the people are going to have to be patient, take it slow. But in taking it slow, if you're patient, inshallah ta'ala, at the end, you're going to appreciate it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The teacher, in doing so, in teaching this alphabet or this book, I recommend that the teacher reads in the beginning slowly. The whole page, three times, and the students follow along. Because the teacher doesn't want to hurt, at three times minimum, The teacher doesn't want to hurry and get the students to say, go ahead, let me see. He is not hurrying to get the students to say it. Because what's important for the students, firstly, is to hear and listen to it. And listen until he can differentiate the different sounds. Because new sounds are hard for you to digest in the beginning. Even sometimes if you hear new sounds in the beginning, they all sound the same. But for a person who you say his ear is trained, he notices the difference. You don't notice the difference because your ears aren't trained yet. And this is just like children. You say something, spaghetti, they say baguette or something. He can't get all of the combination of the words together yet. The sounds, they haven't sunk in yet. So you say big words, education, refrigerator, or something. The children just say something that sounds close to that because it hasn't. He has to hear it enough for him to differentiate each sound and letter and be able to duplicate it himself. So it's going to be important for the teacher to read to the student slowly and over again so that they begin to say, oh, now I see. Because you might not see the difference in the beginning between a calf and a qaf. You say, subhanAllah, this Arabic language, man, this joint is confusing. They got letters that sound just like each other. The seen and the sawd. You might think that the seen and the sawd, it sounds exactly like itself. Or the ha and the ha. You might think that they sound like one another. But after you listen for a while, you'll notice that there's a difference. And that's why the teacher is going to read and to read and to read. Because naturally, the more you hear something, the more you pay attention to it and you start to notice. You start to notice a little. So the teacher should read this often. Also, the teacher, he must make sure that he listens to each student separately, individually, by himself, to make sure that everyone is coming along. But still, he's going to stop and have to go individually to make sure everybody is correct. And teachers, if they're good, they can make the whole class read and point out where people are wrong. It sounds like something's not right over here on the right side. You read it. You read it. Oh, there's the problem. Read it again. No, akhi, not like this, like that. The teacher, if he's good, he'll start noticing. And this can help the teacher to save time by keeping the whole class moving along at one time. But until the teacher gets on this level, the teacher has to make sure that he listens to every student individually. And that's going to lead us anyway to after the completion of a page, the teacher must test them on each page. Every page is a test. Because before you move to the next page, we want you to have passed the page before it with 90% or above. And some people say 85% is okay. But don't shortchange yourself. This is your deen. This is not, you know what I'm saying? This is not just a regular course. So we don't have to shortchange ourselves, and everyone can do it, inshallah ta'ala. Also, the teacher is going to be mindful as the students are learning to read words that they read the words fluently. And that means that every word sounds like a word. Every word sounds like a word. Because if the words, if they don't sound like words, then they're going to be hard to detect. He's pronouncing the letters, but the intonation or the accents are not where they belong, so they sound a little different. And sometimes it's hard to even recognize a word if someone is not putting the accents on the words properly. Or he's not pronouncing it all the way correct. It might be hard to know that the word proper. Does everybody know the word proper? Proper. Proper. You say proper. That's proper. But it sounds a whole different when you say proper to proper, but it's basically the same. Proper. Proper. It's basically the same, but that little change makes it difficult to know what you're talking about. And that's on one word. Imagine when your whole sentence is like that. No one will know what you're saying. So the teacher has to make sure that the students are reading the words fluently, meaning that every word sounds like the word is supposed to sound. Don't let the students continue to break it up. Ka-ta-ba. Or ka-ta-ba. But he has to say ka-ta-ba, not ka-ta-ba. Or jala-sa. But jala-sa. So every word has to be read fluently, meaning that it sounds like a word. When you get to the words, every word must sound like a word. And then we're going to add along with this section here of reading, that we're going to take some time to let the students learn how to write also. And there might have to be a writing book connected to this exercise or workbook, where the students can have some homework, that the letters that they're learning to read, that their homework would be to go home and learn that and to write that. Maybe if they're doing the Aleph and the Ba, that they would do one page of an Aleph and one page of a Ba as they go along. The teacher at the end of the class would teach them how to write the letter this way or that way, where to begin and stop. And then that will be their homework. Or if the class is longer, say it's an hour and a half or something, maybe you might give the students time to do that writing in the classroom and then check it before they go home. Also along with that, as the students are starting to write also, we're trying to add some dictation along with that. So that the students, okay, they're learning how to read, they're learning how to read properly, and they're learning to write what they're reading, and then you're going to have some practice dictation, where you say Aleph, and they write the Aleph. You say Ba, and they write the Ba. You say Kataba, and they write Kataba. So they get some dictation too, in order to make sure that the whole connection is there. Between hearing the letter, writing it down to see it, and being able to read it and give it back, and everything, that the whole process is going to be there. And this is how we're going to teach that book. And then at the end of this book, we're going to combine our vocabulary with this. Alright, as you get to a certain point in the book, now basically the students know how to read. At this point where they basically know how to read, the rest of the book, we're going to have the vocabulary words that you are already memorizing. Qum. So now you're going to start going through those words that you memorized before in the class in the written form. So when you see aswad, abyad, then as you read it, you say aswad. And it clicks to your mind that, oh, you said qum. So you know, the eyebrows are raising, everybody is now, the whole picture is starting to come together. And then when this picture comes together, where they have a certain amount of vocabulary words, and they know how to read, and they know how to write, now we're going to move them into the Arabic program, teaching them the Arabic language, which is going to be based on three different subjects, if that's proper to say. Grammar, reading for comprehension, and self-expression. And this is what the Shaykh was mentioning yesterday, the Shaykh Suhaib Hassan, in trying to put the program together, that if you did too much of this, then you lose that, and if you did that, you lose this, and if you didn't get that, you didn't get this. And this is to try to get everything. And perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the grammar, the reading for comprehension, and the self-expression are going to be the three subjects that will make up the learning the Arabic language. And that is that you're going to have to, with the grammar, is going to help you better understand the different constructions that are used when you read the Arabic language. And it's going to help you also to express yourself the way things are supposed to be correct grammatically. And you're going to have to read with comprehension, because the vocabulary words don't stop. The ones you can memorize by pictures and showing is only the beginning. The children you can't go all your life learning by pictures and objects. Eventually you're going to have to start learning concepts and other more detailed words. And that's going to take by reading and reading and reading and seeing the words in different contexts and so on and so forth. And that's going to be the reading for comprehension, where the vocabulary is being increased and increased and increased. And the self-expression is going to be the part of the course where it teaches you now that you're picking up a certain amount of words, you know how to read and write, you know the grammatical structures and what have you. Now you're beginning able to compose your own sentences. And this is important also, as this will help the Muslims and non-Arab speaking countries to eventually bring spoken Arabic to their countries. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful. In handling these three subjects, myself, I'm recommending the program of our Shaykh Dr. Fah Abdul Rahim Al-Hindi, which is known to many of the people as the Medina series. And I almost don't know anyone who has seen the Medina series. I almost don't know anyone who has seen the Medina series. What people have seen of the Medina series has been the grammar books 1 to 3, which are really 1 through 4 in 3 books. It's really 1 through 4 in 3 books, because the program was 4 different levels. And that third book is in fact 2 levels. From the first page to a certain part is level 3, and the smaller part of that third book is level 4. At any rate, this is the grammar. For the reading comprehension in the Medina series, there's another book called Al-Qira'ah. And also along with Qira'ah, there's a book called Qisus al-Nabiyyin, or Stories of the Prophets, where it starts to move you into the Quranic stories so you can benefit from your deen and start perfecting your character and increasing your vocabulary all at the same time, and your comprehension of the text. And those Qira'ah books and the Qisus and the Stories of the Prophets books are a couple of levels also. So it's not just one book. Every level is another book. And the same thing with self-expression. There's a book called At-Ta'bir, or self-expression. And in the first level, it's going to give you some, and then the next level like that. So, you know, as you get older, you begin, or as you grow in the language, you begin to express yourself with more detail. And so every book goes like that. And this is a full program. Also along with it, which separates this program from many other programs, is that the Shaykh had only one objective with his program, basically. To read, write, be able to listen, and to express Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that you can read the Quran and the Sunnah, you can understand the Quran and the Sunnah, you can listen to the Quran and the Sunnah, and you can propagate the Quran and the Sunnah. That's the Shaykh's objective. This is the Shaykh's objective to his program. Not just to learn Arabic to be able to conversate. No. Of course, if you're able to express the Quran and the Sunnah, you're going to be able to express yourself also. But the objective is to be able to have this type of expression of Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So the issue of fiqh books, when you start getting to a certain level, he's going to bring you into the fiqh. And the Shaykh, mashallah, when you see the book, he brings you into the issues of Islam with what everyone knows already. He brings you into the fiqh that you know already. Starts you off with the salah. When you read At-Tashahud, when you read it, Bab At-Tashahud, everybody's going to say, At-Tashahud. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا التشهد قال التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. When you start reading that, you're in there.
When you start reading it, everybody is happy because you already know. All right, you might forget, you kind of know it in your language, and you kind of memorize those Arabic phrases, but now it's starting to come together. Now he's pulling it together. The same thing with hadith. The Shaykh, in the hadith class, he chooses the small hadiths everybody already knows. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. None of you truly believes till you love for your brother what you love for yourself. By the time you get to that hadith, you're going to already know the words أخو, أخ, أخو, أخي, أخا. Start learning how do you use it. يُؤْمِنُ آمَنَ يُؤْمِنُ. You're going to start learning some of the stuff. So when you take this, you're not all the way understanding, but you're not all the way not understanding too. So now it's easy for the teacher to just bring it home, because you already understand it. But you just don't have all of the Arabic words. So he's going to pull you back to that vocabulary you memorized and bring you up in there. And then it's just clicking. All the way through the whole program, it's just clicking and clicking and keeping you in. And this is the same thing with the Aqeedah and the Seerah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the history of the four Khalifas and the Tafsir and the other subjects that are also with this Medina program. But what is in common with all of these subject matters with this Medina program is that you learn Arabic through the text or by a dialogue. Meaning, you're not just learning grammatical rules as abstract rules. But the Shaykh, he's bringing you a text and you read it. You don't understand it all the way. Why don't you understand it all the way? Because there's grammatical rules that you haven't learned yet that's going to give you command to understand that passage. He's going to pull out the grammatic rules from everybody's going to read the passage. That's how the Shaykh does it. And he makes you feel good all the way while you're learning it. The class, the passage is on the board. Everyone can read now. Read the passage. The whole class reads because everyone can read. But you don't really understand. You know some of the words and stuff like that. You understand it? You know, I'm kind of in there. Look like we're talking about Salat or this or that, whatever. So the Shaykh, after that, he pulls out the grammatical rules and he starts to explain them to you afterwards. So now you get down the grammar. When you get down the grammar, he moves you on to the vocabulary words. Those words that are singular, he gives you the plural. So he's giving you a lesson at the same time. If it's a singular, he's going to give you the plural, and then he's going to give you the definition and other Arabic words. Like for example, this is a Fusha Arabic word that was used in the past. That's not, well, it's used also nowadays by the Arabs, but sometimes not in its proper context. This might be the word bas. He might define the word bas with qif. Or, for example, he might define the word, it might have walaja. And he might define it dakhala. Like that. So that the words that you learn, you're going to learn them through other Arabic words. This is all making you fluent. Just like the natural way when you learn. If you don't know an English word, how do you learn that English word that you don't know if English is your language? You go to the dictionary and they give you other English words to help you learn the English word you don't know. This is the same thing in the Arabic. You don't need an English word to help you understand the Arabic word you don't know. You need other Arabic words to explain to you this Arabic word you don't know. Then when you get to the verbs, he's going to show you the past tense. If it's the past tense, then the Shaykh is going to show you the whatever the other tenses are. No. I didn't study the Arabic with the English terminology, so I only know the Arabic terminologies. But I know some English. So, alright, if it's past, he's going to show you the present, the commandment, and the verbal noun. And if it's the future, present, then he's going to show you the past and the commandment like that. If it's the verbal noun, then he's going to show you the verb from which that stems from, like that. And then he's going to give you a definition of it. So those are, now you go on through that. Now after we went through that, the Shaykh brings you back to the text again. Boom, read it again. Now when you read it, you just say Alhamdulillah. Because now you understand it. So the Shaykh is, he teaches the grammar and the vocabulary and the verb constructions or whatever you call that. He teaches you all of that by way of the text. The whole thing is taking a text and working with that. And that's the whole way you understand. That's the whole way you have to learn something. You read the Quran, you want to understand it. You got that text, how can I understand this book? You take the page, break down the grammatical rules that are needed to understand that page, take the vocabulary words that are needed, make sure that they're understood, this and that, read the page again, bam, you got it. If somebody says, Shaykh, I still don't understand, now the Shaykh can start pinpointing. Why don't you understand? What you don't understand? Then it gives the Shaykh the opportunity to go over that rule again, to explain that word again, to show that this verb is in the past tense and it's the same word you already know in the plural tense. Or for example, like the word that might come in the text, Al-Haqibatu Sawda. Al-Haqibatu Sawda'u. Okay, he never learned Sawda'u, but he learned Aswad. Remember with Aswad. Alright, now the Shaykh, he tells you that Sawda is the feminine of Aswad. You say, ah, subhanAllah. Everything just starts to click in place. And this is how the Shaykh's program is designed or developed. And then you just take this program and work it till you become fluent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission, inshaAllah ta'ala. And this is what I wanted to present from a methodology of learning Arabic. And this is not a trial and error program. And this is not a test to see if it works program. But this is a program that so many of us have already went through. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us to be able to read, write, understand, and speak the Arabic language. And this could be the way for so many other people if there are proper teachers to teach this methodology and students willing to learn if there was any good, it's from Allah and then from the knowledge of our Shaykh, Dr. Fahd Rahim. If there was any mistakes or shortcomings or misrepresentation of this program, then it's from me, myself, and the Shaytan. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I don't know if there were any questions to what was presented. If so, we can take some time now to handle some of those questions. Brother, he said, when is this program starting? The program is in existence and it's being taught right now. No, I was just giving, if I mention a time. No, I'm just giving some example times. But this program is being taught in different places in the world. And this is the program that was instituted in our school here when it was IDS, the Islamic Day School. And now this program is going to be reinstituted into our Madrasatu Ahl Sunnah school, inshaAllah ta'ala. And it's going to take time because sometimes if the teachers haven't gone through the program, then you're going to have to bring the teachers up to the speed of knowing this methodology and knowing how to teach it and having the necessary materials available to teach the program so that the program can in fact be taught. Myself, I was teaching it for some time in the beginning and I haven't taught it for a while. And from time to time I try to go over it myself. And I saw the Shaykh and I hope that I see him soon, inshaAllah ta'ala, to just question him about the program and to make sure that I stay on track as to what the program is. When it comes to teaching the program here in America for the adults,
then unfortunately there are some things that are involved. You know, people's work schedules, having money for the materials, people having time and being committed to it, and what have you. And this is why we had the subject yesterday, developing Arabic institutes and trying to let the people realize what it's going to take to go into it. Now, one of the things that wasn't mentioned, and I wanted to really mention it, was that we don't have many qualified teachers, unfortunately. We don't have many qualified teachers, unfortunately, because we haven't been patient. And if we think back to like our Shaykh Suhaib Hassan, whose father learnt from a school, as he was saying, and then his father taught him, and then he was teaching people, and then they were teaching people, and so on. People have been committed, man, dedicated, and learning. And we need people also. And even, mashallah, some of the brothers who are teaching here at Masjid Ahl al-Sunnah now, they're doing a good job. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. And they're doing what they can do. But sometimes you need the qualifications to come from, you know, teachers too. As this, everyone is going to have to be fluent in Fusha Arabic. And not many people are even fluent. And even myself, I'm a little lacking behind myself. But you need people who are fluent. And even sometimes it's difficult for even Arabs to speak Fusha for a whole hour straight. None. So even in having the program, you're going to need some qualified teachers, and sometimes that's not the easiest thing. And the Shaykh, mashallah, as he was in the city of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and there at the University of Medina, that there were a lot of resources available. I mean, if you're in the city of the Prophet ﷺ and you're asking for qualified teachers to teach, I mean, the whole world would love to be there. You know what I'm saying? But just saying, come to East Orange. You know, East what? Where? You know? So it might be a little more difficult. And then unfortunately too, here we're in America, the land of milk and honey, gold flowing in the streets. People come into America for reasons other than the deen. And most of the people who are concerned about their deen and the deen don't come to America. Because they say, how can I come to America and remain concerned about my religion? Or how can I preserve my religion if I go to America? And what have you. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to bless us in our efforts. And the success is only the success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And I always like to hope and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will have our program laid out one day. And we'll be able to have graduates from that program speak about what it was like going through that program, and then their students, and then their students. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful. I don't know if there were any comments or questions or whatever around what was presented. Other than that, yes. I hope inshaAllah ta'ala. I had asked some of the brothers, JazakAllah khair, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I had asked some of the brothers before that, if they got materials for me, I'd teach it. But I have a lot of responsibility myself, and sometimes I don't find the free time to do all of that preparation. Like for this, I kind of know the program, alhamdulillah, in my head. And all I need is everything to be there to get it rolling. But all of that preparation to make sure my class is set and everything I need for that class is there, who's going to do that? Me, right? That's why it's not getting done. But if someone is going to have in my classroom everything I need for every day, I can tell him exactly what I need for this day. If someone's going to handle that responsibility and make sure they get everything, then I want to try to do that. And even in these days, I'm going to try to make a bigger effort. As soon, inshallah ta'ala, we're trying to make a trip in order to pick up extra copies of this program there in Al-Madinah. and to get some other materials, and all this costs money, takes time, and I'm hoping that even myself, I might get back involved in teaching the Arabic, inshallah ta'ala. And if the materials are gathered, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to start immediately after that. But I wanted to start with some brothers who had already a beginning. I wanted to start with some brothers who already have like a little beginning. You know, like they know how to read a little bit. And then we'll take them through the book to perfect their reading. And then we'll take them through some vocabulary and move them through like that, you know. Because sometimes I get to be a little impatient too. I'm not like the best one to work sometimes with adults if we come along too slow. And I know that that was a problem before with myself in teaching tajweed. I correct the student. Then the next day before we move on to the next chapter, I tell him to read the chapter before that. He reads it wrong. Then I stay on that. Now he mad at me. Let's move on. I've been saying Surah An-Nas, man, for the last 15 years. And even yesterday you said I said it correctly. I know. You have to say it correctly every time you sit in front of me. Alright, now he's all mad, getting an attitude with me, stuff is all uptight. So I really, it's sometimes for myself, you know, personally, it's just a little difficult if the people are not going to work because I don't really cut corners. Somebody want a half job in learning his Arabic or Quran, whatever, I'm the worst person to sit with. In my classes, you know, during the evening, I just take it easy. Come late, come early, don't come, lay down, sit down, sleep. I'm not offended and it doesn't bother me at all. What you get what you don't, alhamdulillah. But like this is more structured and what have you. I'm a lot more tighter. And I had taught Arabic before, even Arabic. Then I come back the next week. Alright, where's the homework? I didn't do it. Alright, read that passage again. Didn't I correct you with that last time? This, that. Alright, then you just say, man, I'm finished with this. Man, I've been teaching the same lesson for 5 weeks. Because me, and learning this, we not moving on to what you have is down, then we move on. And every time we move on, we keep going back. So we keeping this whole thing coming along. So when you stay with it, you're on. And then a lot of people too, they found it difficult to come regularly. If you don't come regularly, you know, at the worst case scenario, 5 days a week, forget it. We can't even do this. We got to work with something else. You know, and if you want to work with something else, we're going to let somebody work with something else. So too, if some brothers, you know, commit themselves for 5 or 6 days a week, and one of the times that I can make it for that, inshallah ta'ala, I hope that Allah makes it easy for us to do that. I would like to be a help in the development in this establishment. What can I do? I would really be happy to help fi sabilillah. There's a lot for you to do. And we just need to know your name and number and how to contact you and to start you off with some small assignments to see if you can in fact help out and bring you along, inshallah ta'ala. Can you give me some du'as or remedies I can do according to Quran and Sunnah to help me remember? Sometimes my focus gets distracted and I continue to forget. I don't know any remedies other than one. And that is constant repetition. That is constant repetition, as this was the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to stay on top of the tahajjud salat to keep the Quran, and he used to make his dhikr and dua regularly after salat, and in the morning and in the evening. Staying on top makes you remember, and not staying on top makes you forget. And then the ulama, they add something on top of that, where they say, stay away from sins. Sins make you forget. Stay away from sins. Sins make you forget. As-salamu alaykum wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
May Allah reward you for everything, ameen, that you have done for Islam. No matter what ignorance thinks or says, I really appreciate the enthusiasm and help that you put forth in order to help us be saved from the fire. May Allah bless you with Jannah and good success. Ameen. I don't know if there was anything else. Now we'll end here, inshallah ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka alhamdulillah. We just have two last programs, and that'll be the Shaykh's talk after Salatul Maghrib shortly on fasting the month of Ramadan or preparing for the month of Ramadan. Then we'll just have a question and answer session to end up this weekend after Salatul Isha, inshallah.